Dolce Show, episode 65. This is a twofer. Back to back. I'm back, so we're back. We're kicking ass. Right, Brandy?
Right, Mike.
So did you guys see the news jumping right into this topic that pissed me off yesterday after we recorded the show?
Oh, boy.
The vitamins.
Yeah.
The doctors are coming out and saying vitamins are bad. Vitamins are bullshit. Don't take vitamins. But you can take Lyrexa, you can take this drug, that drug, the other drug, all these other drugs. So doctors are coming out so hard because the vitamin industry is growing. It's growing at the fastest rate, faster rate than it ever has, uncommon in a time that everybody's losing money, right? The economy's down and all of that shit.
Right.
So vitamins continue to grow. Health and fitness continues to grow because people are getting healthier and fitter and they're getting more informed. Unfortunately. And I've gone through the studies. I've gone through, quite a bit of the research. So a group of doctors now, as being pushed through the major media outlets, which you always wonder, follow the money. Who's funding these things? Who's supporting these things? Who's promoting these things? Who are they aligned with? What other companies do they hold and such? And you always find, pretty ironic yet obvious answers. So the doctors come out with a statement, and the doctors are just kind of, very vague.
That's not a lot of doctors, though. That's a select few based on a study.
A study. So a group of doctors come out with a study that say, hey, vitamins don't work. We tested 100,000, It's like, 400,000 or so they say was in part of one study, and 6,000 a part of another, and 17,000 a part of another. So a bunch of studies they claim were put out there and saying that people who took vitamins, well, they didn't have any better life expectancy than those that didn't. They got just as sick and just as diseased and just as whatever. That's kind of what the general statement is as they put it out there.
Mm-hmm.
But in application and in practicality, and that's saying if you're not deficient. So that's for every person that's not deficient doesn't need to take vitamins. Because if you're not deficient, well, then you're going to live just as long as the guy that's next to you. Vitamins are not. And in fact, vitamins can even be worse because you can overdose. You can get, especially the fat-soluble vitamins. You can get more than your body needs can process, and that can cause problems. So all that was kind of – and I read probably 12 different major websites. I read their different version of this very, singular study. And that's what was basically the headline that was being pushed. Vitamins are bad. Doctors say vitamins are bad. Doctors versus vitamins. And it's the media that's really pushing something that we as humans know to be obvious. I know vitamin C does boost my immunity. I know it's a natural, very safe and gentle diuretic. I know this because I see it. I feel it. It's tangible. It's not fake. It's not the placebo effect. I know that. So how can they say vitamins are bad? That's one case right there. That is a vitamin. So that continues on and on. And each person is specifically different.
Mm-hmm.
And has a different need, and that's what a supplement is. So when I read that yesterday, I was like, now, people are going, I'm not taking vitamins, because this report, because that's what people do, believe it or not, you guys know, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of people. Yahoo is the number one news provider of the average American. Like the vast majority of America gets their news from Yahoo News over any other site, ABC, CBS.
Wow.
All the old school major medias that our parents would get their news from. Well, that stuff's gone. Yahoo now. So mixed in with the Kardashians, the average person is getting their news from Yahoo and seeing this. Doctors, say vitamins is bad. Or like enough is enough. No more vitamins. Those are all the headlines.
And Chloe's divorcing Lamar.
And who, that's out there. So that's the same fodder that they're putting out there. And it's all media. It's all meant to trick you and deceive you from what you know to be true and be obvious. Of course, we always say earth-grown nutrients, number one, eaten in great abundance. So you should be stocked up on as many vitamins and minerals and all the necessary nutrients that you need, as many as possible. Based upon your personal, unique, individual physiology, health history, background, cultural influence, geographical location, the availability of specific foods and nutrient types, soil types and such. So based upon those parameters, you build your supplement program. That's common sense. So the headline that says vitamins are bad, or saying that, you know, all medicine is bad even. You can't say that. You just have to step back and take common sense and don't get your news from Yahoo. And if you see a news source on Yahoo pop up, well, go and find 10 other related news stories from reputable news sites and a little far left and a little far right. And really, that's the way you understand topics better, specifically when it comes to health and fitness. And that's all I have to say about that.
What about this? So my friend, who is in a lot of pain right now and has to go through surgery, asked for medical marijuana to manage the pain for the next couple of weeks leading up to this surgery. The doctor laughed at her and prescribed her a boatload of Valium.
Boom. There you go. They'll take medical marijuana.
Oh,
get addicted to this.
Take this Valium.
There you go.
Medical marijuana.
And we'll deal with your liver later.
Yeah.
I'll see you again.
Yeah.
It's insane. So there you have to be informed. You have to really research. Don't read the fucking headlines. The headline, that should just begin a whole day of research in a week, in a month, in a lifetime of research into these specific topics, the ones that affect you at the most base level, affect your health, your well-being, you know, before anything, before you even have to pay taxes, you have to deal with that stuff. So you should pay more attention to that.
I feel like making spaghetti and meatballs right now.
Ooh, in. I'm in. Now, will we use the brown rice spaghetti, or will we use the quinoa spaghetti?
I don't know. I have this spinach.
Spinach.
Spaghetti.
But what is the grain base?
I don't know. I have to double check. It's good because I only buy good stuff, so.
Yeah.
No crap in this house.
No crap in this house. We'll have to take a look and report back.
Yeah.
Have we tried this before?
What? Our meatballs.
No, the new spinach.
Oh, the spinach?
Spaghetti?
Yeah, I made spinach fettuccine.
Ooh, that's right.
With the cauliflower base. Holy moly.
So think fettuccine alfredo, but now take out the dairy, take out the milk, take out the butter from the alfredo sauce and use
cauliflower. I just blended up a bunch of cauliflower and there it was in the sauce. It was just like a little bit of sea salt and cracked pepper, and it was amazing. And if you want to, you can add some parmesan cheese on top.
Parmesan
cheese. Leave me alone.
Have cheese up on there.
I need more coffee. Thank you. Yeah,
and that was amazing.
Yeah, my mom and I, one of our favorite movies is The Holiday, you know, with Kate Winslet and Cameron Diaz and Jude Law, Jack Black.
I was on the other side of the world when they watched that movie. They ran me out. I was like, The Holiday, I'll go to Australia.
I'll leave the country. So, and Kate Winslet's character makes Christmas fettuccine for them. And we're like, oh, let's do Christmas fettuccine. But we want to make it healthy because we're not going to eat garbage. So
nice.
I experimented, and that's what we came up with.
New recipe. Boom. Yep. This is how we come up with recipes, new recipes. And we have a whole database of 100+ recipes and counting.
Yeah. My thing is, like, I never look at a recipe and say, oh, well, fettuccine, I would love to have that, but it's bad. I can't have it. No, I look at it. I dissect it. I think about other ingredients that we can substitute for it. And I make it and I have it and freaking enjoy it because no one's going to tell me I can't eat that because it's bad for me.
Exactly.
Make
your own. Stop being a little whiny bitch. Make your own fucking food. Stand in line at Subway or Chipotle because you're too lazy to make your own today. You know what? I can figure out a fucking way to make that. A BLT. The BLT with the Ezekiel bread.
Yeah.
Avocado. Using spinach, turkey bacon, sliced tomato. What else would go on there? That right there fucking awesome.
Yeah, that's or some veganese.
Some veganese? Yeah, I mean, that's you can use veganese for sure.
A little avocado.
Pinch of Tabasco or sriracha.
Yeah, whatever you want. I mean, you make the recipes your own, but you know what ingredients are healthy.
Have that with some black lentil soup.
And what's, you know, what's going to stick you in the bathroom all day?
The black, whoa.
Seriously, though, right?
Yeah. And then it's just doing it. It takes a half hour. If you can't cook a half hour a day for yourself, I mean, and those that like to cook will cook, you know, a half hour three times a day, you know, twice a day, depending.
Your athletes have to be able to cook for themselves. Like, you don't just, you're not a personal friggin' chef. You don't walk in there.
No.
And you're not like, you
rarely.
Know,
I don't someone, do that at all anymore.
Yeah. Someone on Twitter the other day said something about, oh, are you looking to train chefs? Train personal
yes.
chefs?
Remember, I focus on the art of chefery.
Chefery.
And if
but
you're a dedicated listener of the Mike Dolce Show, you'll know what I'm talking about. I'm a chef-tician.
I think the only reason you actually started doing that, though, is because, like, an athlete you started working with didn't have a clue in the kitchen, and you were teaching.
Yeah, all the athletes, most of the athletes, most people, they don't have a clue about cooking because they're scared to cook because they don't know how to cook, and they think there's some sort of hocus-pocus to it. But there's not. You can't really fuck up cooking. You know, you cannot make a most delicious meal every time, but as long as you don't catch anything on fire and nobody dies, you won't really fuck up cooking. And it's simple. It's eggs. Anybody can make eggs. And then I teach you how to easily make eggs, how to make the perfect over-easy egg. It's fucking easy to do.
When do you do that?
When I work with athletes.
Oh, when you work with athletes.
Yeah,
oh.
Or in our recipes and our YouTube videos and tutorials. I mean, you know, we put this information out there. Go on YouTube.
True.
I mean, we tried to put a shitload of the basics, the caveman chicken, the skinny sumo stir fry, you know, our basic recipes.
What
we
about
have,
those freaking, those deviled eggs?
The Dolce deviled eggs. I mean, that's easy stuff
ate, like,
to make.
I ate like five of those on Thanksgiving and I felt amazing. And your mom's eyes were getting bigger and bigger. She's like, Brandy. Huh. I'm like, I can't help it. They're so good. They're
with
good.
Those, no matter how many dozen eggs I make, they always get eaten. And each time we make those, I make another dozen eggs. I'm like, all right, fuck it. I'll just make three dozen eggs. Three dozen of these deviled eggs cut in half. How many is that? 72 individual halves of an egg.
You see my eyes glaze over when you ask me a math question?
And if I have two people or 20 people in the house, that shit gets eaten quick.
Yeah,
we should make that more often. We only do that on holidays.
If me and Bob are here, we'll eat it.
So was that a question I was just answering? We were answering?
I don't know. We didn't ask a question yet.
About the cooking, the recipes. Oh,
the recipes.
About. So do we have questions? I know there's a shitload. We're trying to run through these questions, guys, and there's a ton. We love it. Keep them coming.
Si, senor. Let's see here. Hold on. I'm looking for the perfect question.
Everything went quiet.
Boogie Braun says, are energy drinks bad for losing weight? Do they have lots of sodium? Man, I think that's the least of your problems with an energy drink.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Will my ankle swell? Okay, yeah, so.
Yeah, no, duh. Do I have to answer that for real?
Yes, your face right now is hilarious.
That's terrible. Jesus.
So are they bad for losing weight?
They're bad for everything.
Do you find, this is from, this name is so real, Hannibal Lecter. Do you find,
hello,
Clarice. Do you find Joe Rogan's theory of if it's hard to catch, it's good for you, plausible?
If it's hard to catch, it's good for you? Yeah. I mean, he prefers and talks about wild caught meats and foods and things. And that's exactly what I talk about and believe in also. So I agree with that.
Okay, Jamie McMillan says, hey guys, two questions. First, how did you come to the conclusions with oils, such as cooking with grapeseed and then olive for dressing? And then also, the person says they tried to do their own research, but there's so many different studies. Is it just the higher smoke point?
Well, the higher smoke point, that is the primary reason for cooking because that trumps everything. You know, if the oil can't hold up past a low cooking temperature and it starts to break down and become a carcinogen, well, then you shouldn't be consuming that. You know, that'll make you even less healthy, you know, by using that. So it just makes perfect sense. And then we find oils that are suited chemically so they can hold up to the different types of cooking. Foods or oils that offer something other than just the ability to cook. And that's what we say all the time on nutrient density. We choose oils with a high nutrient density, coconut oil, grapeseed oil, peanut oil. Those are excellent oils that will have an added benefit of nutrition when cooked in those oils, unlike some of those sprays the sprays just make your pan, you know, oily, so you can, or non-sticky, so you can just cook on it and then get the meat itself or whatever you're doing. So we like to use oils that have an added nutrient benefit and taste good.
Jamie also says, second, Mike, can you please talk a little more on warm-ups and cool-downs, like what type of exercises and stretches should be done before and after, like the deadlift power workout?
Warm-ups and cool-downs?
Yeah.
Well, you should perform a dynamic warm-up. What a dynamic warm-up is, and you can look this up online, dynamic warm-up, athletic warm-up. Martin Rooney has a great dynamic warm-up progression. You should look up Martin Rooney. He's a very, very smart guy, you know, amazing coach, world-class coach. And I remember, 15 years ago at least, I went to one of his seminars, and he went through a whole dynamic warm-up. And it was just excellent. And those are principles that I incorporate to this day, working with myself and my athletes.
Like, so what would be some moves?
It's a series of motions that are active. So it's taking the muscle through a full range of motion through active movement. So the traditional stretching, the static stretching, where you mm-hmm. basically picture football players in the middle of the field and they're bending over and they're
touching their toes
for, yeah, you know, 10 to 30 seconds, and they're leaning to their left leg for 10 to 30 seconds, their right leg for, well, that's what you do at the end of the workout.
Right.
What that does, it pulls apart the muscle fibers and it deadens, it numbs the cells. So the muscles just go limp and they relax, and it takes them a while to rebuild the elasticity. So at the end of the workout, you stretch the muscle properly and healthy. It improves blood flow and these other things, but it shuts the muscle down. Beforehand, you train what's called dynamic warm-up, or an athletic warm-up, I like to call it, depending on the athlete or who we're talking to, where you bring the body through ranges of motion, whether it's a walking lunge, where you basically you're looking forward on a 40-yard field, or, you know, in your gym, you look forward, you bring your left knee nice and high, and then you step it forward, going down into a full lunge position, bringing your right knee high as you stand up, you know, going down into a full lunge position, a walking lunge all the way down. Then you can go sideways for 10 steps, or over under hurdle, or just a traditional bodyweight squat to get started. And there's different exercises, 20 exercises in every position. Hand against the wall and just doing a hip swing, open up your hips. You know, there's all these different exercises. And from there, with my athletes, I'll transition from a 5 to 15 minute dynamic warm-up, athletic warm-up, into a 5 to 15 minute sport-specific warm-up. If today's a wrestling day, if it's a striking day, if it's a strength and conditioning, squatting, deadlifting day, you know, if it's a track day. So then we'll transition the exercises more closer to the actual events and drills and techniques that they'll be using on that training day. And then we'll transition into the actual drilling, the live technical application of the training, get deeper into the meat of the training, the hardest parts of the training, and then you slow back down again. You do a little more short burst but touch-up training to reinforce certain things, techniques, or correct things, and then you go down into the cool-down and the stretch, the static stretching, 5 to 15 minutes to, you know, bring everything down, smoothie, shake, you know, you get that nutrition in you immediately. And you could go cold plunge, which is never a bad thing, therapeutic cold plunge, where you can, you know, hopefully there's no injuries, and that's a different story. And then you heat your body back up and you transition back in your life. You know, you get a real meal 45 minutes to an hour later, and you get another, you know, 3-4 hours total to rest in between those training sessions.
And that's how it's done.
That's how it's done. I mean, that's the way. If you're looking for perfection, you do that, you're doing everything perfect.
Mario Marley says, how much cardio should someone do when trying to gain muscle, bulk up? Thanks.
How much? Anywhere 30 to 45 minutes, 1 to 3 times a week, you know, can actually assist, but you have to be very careful with what you're doing elsewhere, what your resistance training is, if you're doing any martial arts training, which some people do and they don't count that, what your job is like, if it's, you know, crunch time in the office and you're sitting at the computer for 10, 12-hour days, you know, banging away, you know, if it's sales season and if you're in the service industry, you're on your feet, you're really hustling and running, you have to take that into consideration also. But generally speaking, you know, 30 to 45 minutes, 1 to 3 times a week, you know, you certainly want to incorporate just a little bit, but you don't want to over cardio and burn down your gains, you know, burn down that muscle. But you should also transition and go the other way, where you do increase your cardio and try and maintain your muscle. So you stop trying to gain the muscle, you try and maintain it, and then up your cardio so you're well-balanced. Very important.
Sabri Subi says, boom, boom, boom. I have asked this little bad boy a few times now. You ready?
Ready.
How many times a week or month do you, Mike,
me,
eat meat?
How many times? Eat meat. Now, when people say meat, they typically mean red meat. In the United States, they typically mean cows. But meat would be anything from an animal product, an animal source, I would say. So I have eggs typically every day. I typically have 2 to 4 whole eggs per day. I typically have a chicken or a fish each day in a different meal. I have a ton of plant-based sources, kale and spinach and asparagus and Brussels sprouts and green peppers and red peppers and yellow peppers and garlic and, you know, 3 different types of seeds. I mean, that's just daily. That's probably in every meal I have that. Red meat, I'll eat red meat when it is good. So maybe it's no times a month. Maybe it's 5 times a month. It depends. If I get, you know, the opportunity to have wild caught, fresh hunted, perfect. That's awesome. I'll take every advantage of that. A grass fed, shifting going on over here. Grass-fed, I'll jump in when that's available and it's done correctly. But I don't try and force it. I feel amazing on or, off red meat. And I understand some athletes, and I've seen it. I've seen a discernible improvement with some athletes increasing their red meat intake. Not all athletes, because I've seen some athletes slow down dramatically. Their muscles completely blur out. Them just, start to hold water, performance dip. Have a problem with digestion. I've seen it go both ways, and you really have to pay attention. You have to pay attention to the data. With me personally, I don't, probably 3 times a month would be my average, 3 to 5, 5 at max. And I do see a little bump, for those short periods. But if I continue on and have red meat, 3 times a week for a couple of weeks in a row, I start to slow down. It feels like I got a box of rocks in my stomach. And that's eating the best types. I'm not eating shit meat. I'm not eating, Costco, Walmart meat. When I do eat it, I make sure I eat the best kind. And I'm not eating a lot either. I'm eating 4 to 6 ounces. 200-pound guy roughly is eating 4 to 6, maybe an 8-ounce would be the biggest, but rarely do I order that. 6 ounces is about as big as I get when I eat red meat.
Tim Lee says, hey, Mike and Brandy, what is your opinion of this not eating past 5 p.m. to lose weight diet? Is this method healthy or unhealthy? Thanks.
How about the not fucking eat at all diet? You'll lose weight then. We should do that. We are missing a whole market. The don't fucking eat it all diet.
Yeah, and then you open up the book and it's just like nothing. Blank pages.
Blank pages. Here, just fucking give me your money. I'm going to tell you don't fucking eat any food. So then you're going to, go extreme calorie deprivation. You're going to lose. Oh, my God. I lost 20 pounds in a week.
It's like a South Park episode. Yeah, I found this new great diet. And then, Kyle looks through it. There's nothing in here, man.
Yeah.
No, it's great. It's great. Everybody's doing it.
that exactly what it is. Come on, common sense. All those diets are not sustainable. I'm not going to call them fads. They work for a short period of time. If you can accept that, you want to tighten up for a little bikini competition. You're going to the beach. You got a wedding coming up, a quick event. You want to lose weight fast, and you might not be too concerned about losing it the healthiest possible way. Well, those types of programs can work for some people sometimes. What we suggest, what we talk about, what we do with the Dolce Diet is we talk about a sustainable, ever-evolving, improving lifestyle. That's what we do here. So you don't do any of that crazy bullshit, so you're not always on and off the roller coaster. You're always getting 1% better. You're always getting better. I'm always gaining just a little bit more muscle every year. I seem to have been, as I've been focused on reducing my body fat. Brandy looks absolutely amazing.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, this is just what we do. The athletes that we work with, it's the same thing. Those that pay attention to it, that do it properly, you just always look better. You always feel better. You never neglect yourself. You don't get caught up in all these knucklehead ideas, these crazy schemes, ordering whole sticks of butter at restaurants. Are you fucking crazy? Are you kidding me? I don't care what it's made out of. You're not eating quinoa or oats. That's gonna destroy you. No, no. If you like it, eat it. If you feel great on it, do it. That's okay.
That's my philosophy.
Come on, yeah, come on. You know, that's what we're talking about here. And I'm gonna keep on talking until everybody does it. And if I was wrong, then everybody would look like me. Everybody would be in great fucking shape year round, year after year after year after year. I mean, you can go back and look at the photos year after year. I keep getting healthier and better, and I'm still doing the same shit. Still talking about it. You know, you'll see look at what we talk about. Look at what we write. It's just an endless stream. It's an evolution. It's not bullshit. Here's the new recipe. We just figured out a way to make fettuccine Alfredo using fucking cauliflower. We took out the butter. We took out the dairy. And guess what? We're going to be eating fettuccine Alfredo. And getting leaner on it.
And you know who really loved it? My mom is super critical of things. Like she'll tell you this coffee's terrible. Oh, don't you have any normal coffee or whatever?
Yeah.
Like we have like 8,000 different kinds of coffee, like all gourmet and organic. And she's like, oh, what is this? But she'll, I'm like.
We're actually going to write a book on all of her quotes.
We actually started keeping a notebook about things my mom has said. And it's just.
Oh, your dog is so beautiful. Too bad she's a dumbass.
Yeah, that's my mom. That's my mom.
It said very endearing. What was the other one? I love your backyard, except for the brick wall that makes it look like a prison.
We've had such a good time. My mom is so hilarious. Like, she's just like, look, Mike's still living. That was 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah. These are great.
These are
the Hall of Fame.
The Hall of Fame. The Susan Hall of Fame. But where was I going with this? Oh, the fettuccine Alfredo. She was just like, wow, this is really good. I'm like, you like it? Really?
Yeah.
So I know this. It passed the mom test.
The mom test. Notice I was in Australia when mom was in town.
She's what? Like, is Mike avoiding me?
Farthest part of the earth.
No, you guys love each other.
And I'm just teasing, of course. No, we brought Susan out because it was Brandy's birthday.
Yeah.
Fell when I was away.
Yes.
And we wanted her mom to be.
You know what she did to me?
Uh-oh.
She got us these Eeyore Feedy pajamas. And they have like hoods and you pull the hoods up and there's like ears flopping off of them. And we look like two blue idiots with ears. And we were like taking pictures. It was really cute, actually.
Yeah, I saw the photos.
Yeah, they were cute.
Cute.
Okay. Anyway, let's see here. Oh, Jason Upton says, hey, Mike and Brandy, considering how healthy you eat, are you just as particular about what goes on your body? Like, what kind of soaps do you guys use? Yes, Jason. In fact, I like the Jason line of products. That's so funny.
Yeah, Jason.
Yeah, I like some Burt's Bees stuff and Jason. And then what is the other one? Dr. something.
Dr. Bronner's. I use Dr. Bronner's a lot. It's
Didn't they have a peppermint soap?
They do. They have a few different types and flavors. Not flavors because you shouldn't consume it. but it's great specifically if you're in and out of gyms. You know, it's I forget the term specifically, but it'll help, you know, bacteria and viruses and mat-borne, you know, infections. It really does help clean you out. It has but it's an all-natural base. We could grab it. We'll post it. It's Dr. Bronner's. Look it up. I use that, but also Brandy's got some foo-foo stuff in the house that I use also that has, you know, all the natural essential oils, which helps also hydration. You know, I'd never really paid attention to that until Brandy, you know, in recent years started teaching me about that's important.
And so, I like attacked her face with moisturizer.
Yeah. Yeah. And I saw a huge improvement. I feel better, look better. And it's just all with natural products. Coconut oil. I use coconut oil for most, you know, infections. Most, you know, you get a pimple, coconut oil, something, you know, from grappling, you know, rash burn.
I remember I cut myself and you put coconut oil on it and it was gone like in an hour.
Yeah. It's pretty fucking magical.
Yeah, it was weird.
Coconut oil. I had ringworm on my neck.
Yeah.
Coconut oil. I put it on. The next day, the ringworm was a just dry scab that peeled off and was gone. Now, I've put Lotrimin and all the creams and stuff in there. And usually each day it starts to get a little bit better and it takes anywhere. 4 days would be like the fastest ever. But usually, you know, 7 days or a full week of putting that shit on every day. With coconut oil, it was gone in a day.
Yeah.
And since then, I haven't gotten it. So it's pretty – I'm selling coconut oil right now.
I know. Well, it's wonderful. It's a natural thing that, you know.
When I talk to people about it, they look like, oh, shut up, hippie. All right, well then, fuck you.
You're like the father in My Big Fat Greek Wedding with Windex.
Put some Windex. Put some coconut oil on it.
You get a pimple. Here, let me spray you with Windex. It's so funny. What else do we have here? Ooh, Roni Oliva says, what do you think so far about Alpha Brain? I'm curious on your thoughts because I've been taking it for the past 3 months. What do you think about Alpha Brain?
You know, that actually, it's funny you asked because I was going to talk about that today. For the last almost month now, 3 weeks or so, I started taking Alpha Brain to truly test it and see if there's a beneficial effect.
Right.
The first time I tried it, I didn't notice anything, and I didn't quite finish the first bottle. Didn't quite notice, and I spoke with Aubrey Marcus, the owner of Onnit, and a friend, and we were talking out different products. Said, "Man, I love your New Mood product. When I travel, I use that New Mood. I sleep like a baby." Australia, back to the U.S., you know, Sacramento, and you know, fight trips and all this craziness. I slept 9 hours every day. Woke up at 7 a.m. no matter where I was, almost every day. I mean, right about that time every day. It was awesome. New Mood is excellent.
Alpha Brain.
You know, speaking with Aubrey, and this is going back over a year ago, I tried the Alpha Brain and said, "Oh man, I didn't really feel anything." And he said, "That's normal. That means you're fine." So that means you're already stocked up where you need to be. And there's a few chemicals, and I can't speak to them right now properly. He said that you're all stocked up and you're fine. He said, "Perfect." I said, "All right, well, that makes sense." So now moving forward another year, I'm starting to notice, you know, my short-term memory is off just a little bit. I don't quite feel as clear and crisp as I normally am. Now I have a higher workload and I have much more, you know, many more projects. So I'm running at a much higher level.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? And I was speaking with Bang Ludwig, who uses it, and I see a great effect with him in his ability to process information. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about the personal benefits of it. And he said, you know, it took him a little while to start really seeing effects. It took a few weeks to really kick in. So I said, you know what? Let me give it another try, get back on, and go. So I did a memory test where I sat with a deck of cards and I, you know, kind of, you know, flipped them all over, shuffled them up, flipped them over, and then turned them in the beginning of the experiment. Played Sudoku, which is a game, you know, a traditional game. You guys know it's kind of like a.
I've never played it.
Just a time killer, a memory builder.
Okay.
You know, play that, or you know, just went through that, taking however long it's going to take to finish. Uh-huh. And I'm going to compare this information going through. So in the beginning, in the middle, and the end. And
so you're taking Alpha Brain right now.
I am taking Alpha Brain.
All right. So we'll
and
keep you posted.
So far. I haven't noticed the short-term memory disruption that I was noticing previously, even though I've been traveling extensively. I mean, I've been under extreme deadlines. Travel, physical stress, you know, traveling and such. And I've been sharp. I've been on it. So, you know, it's early in the experiment. I can't say just yet, but things are looking good for Alpha Brain.
Matt Williams says, any and all info about sushi. Is that a question?
Any and all. So,
he says, what?
Sushi began back in...
Back in Ancientville, what can we have? What should we stay away from?
Stay away from the fried. Stay away from the tempura. Stay away from the cream. Stay away from all sauces.
What's yum yum sauce?
It's probably mayonnaise. Most of the sauces in sushi restaurants have a mayonnaise base and a lot of other chemicals in there. My brother runs Lahaina in Las Vegas, which is a bar and grill, a sushi grill, a Hawaiian Japanese influenced menu.
It's delicious.
Delicious. Great bar. And they have a high quality, a high standard there. And their sushi chefs have told him what most other restaurants use. And it's terrible. So when you go to a sushi restaurant, get the wild caught meat. So what is wild? That's what you want. Whether it's tuna, whether it's salmon, whether it's, you know, shrimp or squid, what is wild, not what is farm raised. Get what is wild. For your rice, get a light rice or even brown rice. Yes, it does matter. Get light rice or brown rice. What is it? Sashimi is just the sushi by itself. Get an order of sushi in addition to an order of the same thing with light rice or brown rice. So you enjoy the experience.
I can barely even order sushi anymore because when we go to Bob's place, he just serves, like he just plops down sushi in front of us and we eat it because he knows we all eat the same way.
Yeah.
He knows what we like. So I don't even know what it is anymore. I'm like, that looks great.
It's just all fresh. It was what just came in alive.
Yeah.
It's all that. So, and it's absolutely amazing. Yeah. And it changes every time because what is fresh in the moment is different, you know, different times of day and such.
Ray McLeod says, what's up, Mike and
Ray
Brandy?
Ray McLeod from the Clan McLeod.
The Clan McLeod. What's up, Mike and Brandy? Love the podcast, you guys. Mike, what are your thoughts on raw organic apple cider vinegar? There are many health benefit claims based on taking 2 tablespoons a day mixed in a glass of water. Just want to hear from the man himself, because Dolce knows, bitches. Boom.
Boom. Yeah, absolutely. We've been talking about using apple cider vinegar for years, for decades. Mm-hmm. Currently, we have Bragg's apple cider vinegar, organic, non-GMO, excellent source. You can trust Bragg's. They have the yellow, kind of neon yellow label, and the you know, white, very chipper, you know, lady, southern looking lady, on the logo.
Yeah.
And that's what we use. We put it on salads. You have it, you know, in the morning sometimes, you know, mixed in the water. Some people just take a straight shot of it, and I'm not that guy. You build up a tolerance to it, so mix it in water first, half a tablespoon, you know, 1 tablespoon, and slowly build up, which you will build a tolerance in 2 to 3 days. It's amazing how fast it works, and it's great for digestive issues. It helps settle the digestive environment.
Did you hear Zoe, you guys? Zoe's sitting behind me in my chair. She's dreaming her little buns off. She's like, oh.
Yeah. Sleeping. And there we go.
Okay. So Stephen Welling says, do you ever have off days, Mike? If so, who gets your ass into gear and motivates you? The podcasts are awesome and very inspiring. Keep up the good work.
I would say no. I don't know what an off day is. This is just the life.
That is true. I don't think you do know what an off day is.
Yeah. This is what I would do on my off day anyway. Today technically is a day off. I've been on the road for 14 days, traveling the world, putting on, you know, multimedia events and master classes and televisions and, you know, side-by-side desk side interviews and just all these things. So it's been a hectic schedule. And Nick Lentz, helping him prepare and compete in the UFC this Saturday on Fox. And, you know, filming video, you know, a whole exercise database, 200 exercises, you know, filming those in sequence, multiple shots.
I don't know how you do it.
And so that's a straight shot. And then came home and Brandy and I were rattling out the podcast. I'm, you know, working on new content, content creation and such. And I'm sitting in my, not quite in my boxers right now, but my very comfortable UFC fit shorts, but, you know, so, and I'm in slippers, but, it feels like an off day.
You're like, I'm nude right now doing this podcast.
That's how I do it.
He's not.
No, but I'm comfortable. And this is a passion. You know, I don't have a job. I have a passion. I've been saying that for a long time. And I don't think I would know what else to do.
Richard Price asks, have you ever worked with a bodybuilder type or any plans for future work with this type of athlete? Would you think a bodybuilder's an athlete?
Yeah, I do. Bodybuilders, the athletic side of bodybuilding is in the training. That's one of the things that makes bodybuilding so different, such an odd sport, is that the performance, the competition in bodybuilding doesn't have anything to do with the athleticism. And it really doesn't have anything to do with the individual. It has to do with judging. And it's a perception and it's a flavor of the month. So bodybuilders train harder than most every other athlete. They sacrifice more than most any other athlete. They're more disciplined than most any other athlete. And the reward are the least of most any other athlete.
So why do they do it?
They do it because they're driven to do it. It's who they are. Some are just genetically gifted and prone and adept at it. And that's what they gravitate towards. For most, it's an identifier. For me, I know when I was training and getting bigger, people would identify me as being Big Mike.
Like, yeah.
And I identified myself as that being the biggest, the strongest guy, just, you know, no limits, you know, no physical boundaries. And that made up who I was at a point. And with bodybuilding, those that take it to the extreme level, I think that's what they have to do. They need that at the extreme level. That's why I didn't pursue that world, because I didn't have that complete obsession, the perfectly sculpted physique. I mean, and these people are very dogmatic in that approach. So, yeah, they're gifted athletes, but it's very dangerous what they do to their body and just getting their body that large. They know and agree and understand that there is a downside, a health downside. Now, natural bodybuilding, you know, physique enhancement, that's fine. I'm talking about the IFBB level, the extreme, the professional, the best bodybuilders in the world are certainly not the healthiest athletes. And yes, I have worked with some. I consult with quite a few. And usually the consulting is more off-season stuff or pre, you know, the drying out. How do you dry out healthy? You know, like I do with my athletes. Nick Lentz loses 30 pounds, 175 to 145, and right back up to 175 in a healthy manner, the healthiest manner possible, with no dehydration, with no diuretics, with no starvation, with no supplements, you know, other than, you know, natural, you know, vitamin C and natural healthy herbs and, you know, he was drinking smoothies. That's what the supplement was. So I'll talk to the bodybuilders about that. As far as the day-to-day training and their eating methods, no, that, you know, we don't really get too deeply involved in that because I push the much healthier way, and that's going to, you know, kind of be in contrast to what their goal is. You know, to be a successful bodybuilder, you can't have health as your first goal. It has to be the short term. It has to be the physical because there is no healthy goal in bodybuilding.
That is interesting.
It is. It really is. It's an interesting mindset.
You know, you have some pretty pretty spectacular athletes coming up who are outside of MMA that I don't think we can talk about yet, but I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm excited for that to actually come out because they're household names.
And it's athletes and individuals that I've been working with, you know, for years anyway, for decades.
Yeah.
I've been working with, you know, top level people, but I've been devoted and so focused on MMA. That's, you know, where we are and who we are, but we have been able to branch out just a little bit. And, it is exciting. 2014 is going to be an exciting time.
It's going to be a big year.
Yeah. Happy for, you know, just to get involved in, cause it's the same thing. And that's what's great about what we do. You don't have to be a professional fighter to be on the Dolce diet. I like to say that Vitor Belfort's meal plan is no different than my grandmother's. Mm-hmm. Their grocery list looks exactly the same.
That's
their
true.
Menu, their recipes are near identical. What's different is the quantity, the timing of the food, just a little bit different. The training effect is the most different, but the food, the grocery list is the same. And that's the beauty of it. So of course it naturally touches other sports, and boxing is what I'm most excited about. So I'm working with a boxer now, and they'll be releasing, you know, the information as we continue on. And it's a big deal, and it's a good story, and it's not who you guys might be thinking of. It's not headline hunting at all. It's not somebody who's at the top. It's somebody who's at the bottom, the fucking shit bottom, the rock bottom,
who has an amazing story, an inspirational story.
And they reached out to us, and we've been reached out to the best in all the sports: Major League Baseball, boxing, football, pro wrestling, and just, you know, do the timing and focus on MMA. Hadn't had the opportunity, but this story just got me paid. You know, it got my attention, and it's the opportunity to help somebody, you know, do good and get back to where they once were. You know. Which is so unlikely. It's, you know, the Rocky story in real life, but even more so.
But it can happen.
It can happen. And what the goal is health. I said, well, all I'm going to do is focus on you being healthy. You know, I'm going to focus on that. You know, let's get you healthy. Because when you're healthy, everything else comes back.
Yeah, it's
everything comes together.
Spectacular.
So it's going to be a fun progression.
Yeah. You want more questions?
More questions. We got a little bit of time.
All right, Hanny Hillel, who often gives us wonderful questions. He says, I'm a university student who is trying to change his ways and start a healthy lifestyle. Obviously, because I am a student, a lot of my friends and roommates go out clubbing and drinking alcohol. I've done it for a long time, but I'm trying to cut it out. Can it be part of a healthy lifestyle? And what should I do when it comes to the peer pressure of my friends trying to get me to drink to have a good time out? Are you sure they're your friends?
Yeah, I used to go out all the time and be the designated driver, you know, drinking a bottle of water. It's cool. I would eat. You know, if you're going to go out, you know, let's go to a place that has a good menu. Let's go to a place that you can eat at.
But I think at that age, like college level, they want to go out. They want to get drunk. And then you have Hanny standing there who is sober and looking at everybody like, wow, everybody's so stupid when they're drunk. I can't have a good time because I'm not being stupid too.
Well, you know, it's up to you. You have to sacrifice. That's what it is. You have to sacrifice. And you have to determine what suits you. What's your goal? Is your goal getting laid that night? Well, then, you know, you're going to go out and get fucking drunk and do it that way. Is your goal winning a world title and being better and, you know, you can still get laid, you know, a whole bunch of other ways. You know, you don't have to go and get fucking shit stupid drunk to do that. So I think you can merge all these goals, keep them together, and live the life that you want to live. But are your friends, are they training to be a world champion? I mean, if that's what they're doing and they're being successful at that level, then maybe you can consider it. But if not, why the fuck are you going to go do that? Are there any other world champions there, professional athletes there, uber successful, super successful people getting just as drunk and just as smacked up? I guarantee you not. Certainly not with the same consistency. I know for a fact not, because I know those successful people. That's exactly what they're not doing. That's what they want you to do, because they're home. They're in bed. They're well-fed. They're surrounded by people that love them, support them. And they're having a great fucking time, probably a better time than all those drunk asses at that shitty little party. I mean, that's the reality of it. And your life is what you make it. So it's up to you. Now, if you're motivated enough to stick to that and stick to your goals, then more power to you. You're going to be a success. But if not, you fall into the cracks like those. Well, who knows? Who knows where you end up?
I think drugs and alcohol is what separates the masses that is successful from, you know, everybody else.
Yeah, the ability to keep your shit together. And that's really what it is. Far too many people get caught up in the drugs and alcohol side. Whether it's they're depressed because they're not successful or because they're fucking successful and they have the means.
Or because their friends are doing it.
And they follow that. So you got to handle your shit. You know, going out and, you know, celebrating from time to time. I'm not going to bust your balls on that. No big deal. But fucking getting cracked up every night, every weekend, specifically the younger guys, the college kids, the girls especially, don't do that to yourself. You're automatically adding 15 pounds of fucking belly fat in your late 20s just by being a dickhead in your early 20s. That's what's going to happen. You're going to build the inroads to develop that nasty fucking fat around your stomach, around your hips, on your ass, and your thighs from that time of fucking up your body, of fucking up your insulin production, of fucking up your digestion. During that time in your early 20s, you're fucking up your later 20s and the rest of your life. Do you have to do that? Now, if I were allowed to support medical marijuana, that would be an option.
You can support medical marijuana. I support medical marijuana.
Can I support medical marijuana? Officially? Legally? I don't know. But boy, if I could, I certainly would say that would be a hell of a lot better than drinking alcohol.
Medically speaking.
Medically speaking. So I've read. Medical doctors say, of which I am not.
Nick Power says, I'm a diehard BJ Penn fan. Mike, how long will you be living with / training BJ for his upcoming fight with Frankie Edgar? Will you travel to Hawaii for his camp or potentially accompany him to Brazil when he goes to train with Nova? You now, I can never say that. Thanks a lot for all you do. Love the podcast. Keep them coming.
Yes to it all. Yes to everything.
Yes.
Be staying with BJ as much as possible, as long as it takes. I'll be traveling with him wherever we need to go to get him exactly what he needs to be the greatest 145-pound fighter in the world. That's the goal. That's what he said when he brought me in, and that's what we're focused on, and that's what we're doing. So he's already in absolutely amazing shape. He could weigh in at 145 right now and fight five rounds no problem.
Didn't Dana say that a couple months ago?
Yeah.
Basically, I think he recently did say that, like, BJ's already in fantastic shape.
And he saw him, and he was like, holy shit.
Yeah, that's what it was.
BJ Penn's fucking ready right now. We have until July of 2014, because we filmed The Ultimate Fighter, mm-hmm, season 19, in the end of this year, which will go on air next year. It's, you know, 13 episodes or so. They'll start in late winter, and it'll take us right up until the summer fight in July, where BJ will be a fucking monster. And he fights Frankie Edgar for the third time. Frankie's the guy that beat BJ for this 155-pound title. Now they're both down at 145 pounds, and they're going to go out there and bang it out again. It's an interesting fight. It's a good storyline.
That's all I have for today.
I appreciate that. We want to thank Caveman Foods, Caveman Food Bars. And that's cavemanfoods.com/Dolce. Promo code Dolce. Save 10% on your entire order. Thank you, Caveman, for supporting us. We want to thank Onnit, another proud sponsor of the Mike Dolce Show and the Dolce Diet. Onnit is a Dolce-approved source of some of the finest products on the planet. Go to onnit.com/Dolce and promo code Dolce. Save 5 to 20% on your order, depending on what you're ordering. You can actually get the Dolce Diet books at onnit.com. Living Lean, the College Diet Guide, and the Living Lean Cookbook are all in the Onnit Lifestyle section, because we're awesome.
Because we're awesome. Yeah.
I think that's it. Check out, guys, thedolcediet.com. More information. We keep putting real information up there for you. Lots of blogs and videos. Go to our YouTube channel. YouTube/Dolce Diet. We have a whole exercise series up there. Click on the first video and just let it play through. It'll just keep, it'll move on all through all 37 videos. Some exercises you might know, some exercises definitely that you've never seen before that you can do immediately. You can do in your hotel room, in your dorm room, you know, right now while listening. You can do it at the gym for sure. And it's a great little, you know, database. I was going through there today and I'm really happy with it. Check that stuff out. And we appreciate it. If you don't have our... That's the one thing I wanted to talk about.
I was wondering why you're staring at me.
Yeah, because I knew there's one thing I wanted to say. Our fucking mobile app. If you, people don't know...
Okay.
You don't know we have a mobile app. So if you're listening to the Mike Dolce Show and you're not using our mobile app, you are fucking up. Get our mobile app. It's free. It's all good. It's safe. You know, it's very easy to integrate. It doesn't suck up, you know, hardly any, you know, power or life from your phone. It's a great app made by a great company that makes the number one app maker, you know, in this genre, which is awesome.
That's how my dad listens.
There, Steve, angry Steve, not so angry Steve. We should call him now.
That's true. Yeah, that's how he listens. It's funny. My mom says he walks around the house with a smile on his face and his earbuds in.
Nice. Awesome.
She knows he's listening to us. Be dorks.
That's awesome. Because we're awesome. All right. Thank you, guys. And remember, don't count calories. Make calories count. Boom.